Hello, this is Father Mike Walker of Father Mike's Podcast, Father Mike's Bible Study Podcast, and the Catholic Combine, the pastor of St. Cecilia Catholic Church in Beaverton, Oregon. If you would like more information about the parish or the podcast, please feel free to email me at frmikewalker@gmail.com. And now, today's podcast. So today we're talking about faith a bit. And Jesus describes this with a bit of a contrast. He's talking about, first of all, a mulberry tree. And there aren't many mulberry trees around here in Oregon. I think I may have seen some in California, but in the Middle East, there are a few mulberry trees. They're big trees, and they have fruit that looks like big blackberries. So they're kind of a neat-looking tree, very, very big. So you've got this contrast of this big, beefy tree, and then you also have the other one, which is a mustard seed. And so the mustard seed, of course, is an extremely small seed. And Jesus is using that to show that just a little bit of faith can overcome big obstacles, you know, represented in that mulberry tree or those things that get in our way, that God can remove those from us if we just have a little bit of faith. I think it's also important to understand what faith is and what it's not. Unfortunately, one of the side effects of the Reformation that happened in the 1500s is that faith started to be explained as if it's an intellectual assent, you know, something that you just believe intellectually. And this is something that even to our current day, when you ask people, like, do you have faith in Jesus or God? And they'll talk about it in those terms. Yes, I believe in God, or I believe in Jesus. And it's more of an intellectual thing. And you can see the problem with this, because with that understanding of faith, that there isn't really much need for a response, that life is not different because of it. But the biblical understanding of faith and the traditional Christian and Catholic understanding of faith is actually much different than that, than just a belief system. For example, in the book of Hebrews, it explains it as a realization of hope, you know, so it's things you hope for, realization of what you hope for, and then evidence of things unseen. All right, so a realization is something that happens in the present. It's something you participate in. It's something you experience. And evidence of things unseen, once again, it's something that happens in the present. You have a share in it, a participation in it. It's part of your very life. Now, St. Thomas Aquinas, he explained it as a gift. It's a gift that makes you desire God and his life. Once again, that's very different than I believe in God intellectually. You know, it's a desire that you have to come to God. It's a gift, of course, that makes you desire that, but you come to God and experience his very life. One of the ways that I like to explain faith is that it's a gift we have that helps us to live the Christian life because we love Jesus. You know, so there's an active participation in that great gift of God's kingdom. And this experience of faith is something that invites us to have a share in God's very life, to have meaning and purpose in our life, to have a certain confidence that we have a God who knows us, who loves us, that we are his son and his daughter. We are people who are alive in Christ, living by the Spirit, experiencing the great benefits and joys that faith has to offer us. And we experience this now, even as we wait for its final fulfillment in a life forever with God in heaven. You know, so as you can tell, this understanding of faith is actually much greater than just some intellectual belief system. But it's also true that we don't always live by that standard. And sometimes we can be taken off when it comes to like how we're supposed to understand it. So Jesus is experiencing this, and he's talking about it as well. And he uses this example of these servants who are working for the master. The master comes back, and then he says that in the end, the proper response of a servant would be that I am just your unworthy servant. I'm just doing what is required of me. Now let me explain this a little bit. When I was a kid, there was a time that my dad asked me to go clean the garage, and I didn't want to clean the garage. I had other things that I would have rather have done, and I was kind of a little lazy as a kid. So when Dad forced me to go out and clean the garage, I'm sweeping the garage, and I remembered actually thinking in my mind, I can't wait till I have kids so I can have my own slaves. So obviously, I was a little out of touch with reality, you know, because what my dad was trying to do, he's trying to help me to understand that as a member of the family, you do have some participation in the life of the family and the work that needs to be done because of the family for the well-being of the family. But honestly, my productivity as a little kid was probably not that great. I probably didn't contribute too much to the livelihood of the family, but God, in the same way, he invites us to be like that, to participate in his life and contribute to his kingdom, even if he's the one that does the work. You know, so yes, we have our part, we have our share, but ultimately God's the one who makes the great things happen in this life. And so at the end of this, my proper response is, you know, well, Dad, I don't really have that much to offer, but what little I do offer, I will try to do with a spirit and a sense of love and gratitude. You know, that would be a more appropriate response to those kinds of things. Well, let me explain how this works also with that idea of, you know, I've only done what is required. So my uncle, he was a sergeant major and he had all these accomplishments, but he never talked about it. And it was only after the internet that I came to understand anything about the different honors and things that he had received. And at one point I was over visiting him and I just kind of Googled his name in there. And all of a sudden I saw this list of all these different things that he did. So I said, Uncle Hugh, it's like, I had no idea you did all these things. It's like, this is quite a set of achievements. And he would not talk about it. He just said, it was nothing. That was it. And it was interesting because in his mind, he was just saying, that's just what I had to do. You know, there was no courage or honor in that. I just did what I had to do. And I think maybe that's kind of it. You know, it's the understanding that when God calls us to something, we don't really have bragging rights for doing it. It's not like, oh, God, you're so lucky. You're so lucky that I believe in you. You're so lucky that I actually forgave someone. You know, you're so lucky I went to church and I prayed. Well, God's not lucky. He wants us to do that for our own benefit. It's good for us, and it's good for the people around us. So let me explain another part. So there was a time when these two daughters were bringing in their mom, and they're bringing her into church, and they're sitting down, and you could just see the care and the love that they both had for their mom. And so after Mass, I said, you know, probably no one has told you this. I said, but it was such a testimony and a witness of the love you have for your mom that you were so caring and brought her and spent this time with her. And they're looking at me like, what are you talking about? This is just kind of what we do. You know, it's like what daughters are supposed to do. So I think that's kind of the point, that when it comes to our work of faith, our life of faith, when we respond to God's love, then we're just kind of responding as we should. You know, so we don't really get bragging rights out of this. It's not something that we can say, oh, God, you're so lucky. But it is something that we have a certain joy in because God has invited us into that. Okay, now I'm going to explain a story that might not make sense in the beginning, but later on I'll say why it matters. So when I was 10 years old, I had a moment where I was a true prophet. And sometimes when they get a prophecy, it's some big, great, huge thing. But for me, I knew an outcome of a football game. And I'm not even kidding about this, but it was a Monday night football, and the 49ers were playing the Vikings. It was 1976, and I was 10 years old. So at this time, I came into the room, and Dad was watching the game. And I said, oh, yeah, the 49ers are going to win. My dad says, the Vikings are 9-1. The 49ers are 5-6. The Vikings have Fran Tarkington. And he's explaining all these reasons why the Vikings are probably going to win. And I said, the 49ers are going to win. I knew they were going to win. I don't know how or why I knew this, but I just did. And sure enough, they did. So just for kicks, I looked it up and just to make sure I had the information correct in my memory, and I did. It was they were real underdogs, and they won. So some people can predict when the stock market crashes or when there's going to be a, earthquake or something. I got one prediction, and it was a football game in 1976. But I knew the 49ers were going to win. All right, so you may be thinking, what does this matter? Why is he telling us this? Well, because when you know something and it's a conviction, then you live differently because of that. We know that Jesus is victorious. Through his death and resurrection, Jesus is victorious. That God is going to win. Satan has no chance. And we live according to that standard. You know, so sometimes I see this, I don't know what to call it, it's like a Catholic moping. You know, it's kind of like, oh, it's so terrible to be Catholic, you know, and we get persecuted and people don't appreciate us. And they act as if Satan's going to win or if God's not going to win. And that's just not how life is. So if we live according to the victory of our Lord, and if we live according to the truth of the gospel, and if we live according to the many blessings and the many gifts that the Lord gives us, then this is an opportunity for us to live in the joy of the gospel, in the joy and the love of Christ. We live with purpose and meaning in this life. This is something that is very uplifting. We should be very much optimists in this world, knowing that the Lord is leading us to his great victory and his great culmination. Now, as we do this, that doesn't mean there aren't hardships, but it does mean that we know what the Lord is going to do. He will do it in the present, and he will do it in the future, and we just kind of live by that standard. So to finish, I'll just reread that section that St. Paul was talking about to St. Timothy. And now, hear these words in the context of faith, as I've just described. So he tells Timothy, I remind you to stir into flame the gift of God that you have through the imposition of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather of power and love and self-control. So do not be ashamed of your testimony to our Lord, but bear your hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. May God bless you and be with you as you live out your faith and serve the Lord this week.